First of all, I just want to preface by saying that you're obviously doing something right, because every time I come on your show, there's intense warfare, and that's exactly what we're talking about.
In these last days, God's people need to speak the truth. Hi, I'm David Heavener, and I'm doing just that with my brand new show, David Heavener Live, where we cover topics the church won't. Join me each and every week with my guest on David Heavener Live.
Hey, so good to be with you. And yes, I am live because Jesus is live. And boy, she said, demons all over these people, so I say. And they sure are. It's getting worse out there. You know, I was talking to my guest before he went on, and we were talking about dating. And she said, well, you know, I'd like to find another guy to marry. Maybe didn't have such great luck in the past. We'll talk about that. And I said, you know, even 30 years ago, before I got married, it was crazy out there. I mean, some of the women I would run into, you know, I felt like there's demons all over these people. I mean, and I wonder 30 years later, with all of this social media and all of this, you know, sexuality right in your face, and guys and girls are so numb to it. I mean, and then you see how the men are treating women and how women are allowing it and how sex is not really valued much anymore. It's got to be really tough for a girl, a female, to find a companion. I'm talking about to marry, or at least something that leads into marriage. I want to know what you guys think in chat. Let me know, especially if you're not, you know, maybe 19, 20, 22, whatever. But that's even worse if you're young, because then you don't know. You know, and then you just get knocked around and you get deceived by these. I tell you, I told my daughters, I said, when you go out with a guy, first thing I want you to do, I want you to, if he's wearing a coat, lift up his coat and see if he has a tail. Because if he does, get the heck out of there, because that's probably a devil, right? Just get out, right? And don't let a guy do to you what I did to girls growing up, because I didn't know any better, you know? You demand respect. Demand respect, right? Easier said than done. But, okay, so here's the thing. I want to get on topic, all right? But that is a serious topic, trying to find a mate these days, you know? Slavery.
Oh, David, yeah, slavery. You know, they had it, African-American slaves and Yeah.
Yeah, that's not, I'm talking about that kind of slavery. I'm talking about, and I'm not even talking about slaves to the government. You know, I've talked about that. I'm talking about being held as a slave within a relationship, within your own marriage. And not just a slave, but a sex slave. Within your marriage. And what do you do? What do you do when you're caught up in a situation like that where you're being controlled? Now, I know a lot of you guys in chat, I know who you are, I know some of your stories. If you've got a story you need to share, I want you to share it tonight, because I do these shows because the church will not acknowledge it. And God has called me as a warrior, just like he's called you, to call this stuff out. That when I meet somebody and I feel like it's a Holy Spirit, I want to bring them on. I want to talk to them. I want them to tell their story. Why? Is it sensationalism? No, I don't need to do that. I do it because someone out there may be listening to someone that I'm interviewing and go, that's me. Or you may be listening and if you ever run into this situation, you can go, that ain't going to be me. Do you follow? So there's a reason we do this, folks, as a body of Christ, is we talk about things the church will not talk about. I want to bring my guest on, Miss Sandy. Sandy, how are you doing?
Hey there, David. I'm good. Thank you for having me.
Thank you for coming on. I want to get right to the point. Now, you were married twice. Okay. Mm-hmm. And, both marriages, you were, I'm going to just be say it the way it is, because I don't know what any other way to say it. Within your marriage, let's talk about the first marriage.
Mm-hmm.
You were held hostage kind of as a sex slave and within a marriage. In other words, that's your husband. You're legally married. Tell mm-hmm. me what that looks like, being held as a slave like that within a marriage, Sandy.
Well, I think the first marriage was more like a practice for the second sex slave marriage. But the first one was just abusive. You know, I had three kids. All I did was cook. He didn't have any money. When he did have money, I didn't get any of it. So that was horrible, right? Yeah. When you don't have any choices in a marriage and you feel trapped, what do? I felt trapped. I couldn't leave. I couldn't do anything. I just was there. I just simply existed. I was a person who got pregnant and had babies. Time to have another baby. Time to have another baby. More babies, more love, right?
Yeah, yeah. So, and I want to dive into this a little bit deeper. And you can stop me if I go too deep, but I want to because I want people out there to get educated, okay? And I said it before, there may be someone out there listening that's in the same situation you were in. When you met the guy, obviously there was a sexual attraction. Was he a sex addict? Was he somebody that was addicted to this and he wanted this from you? And if he was, did you know it at the beginning? How did that manifest?
Wow. I did know a little bit of it. I'm just going to be transparent here. God knows anyway, and maybe it will help someone. And so forgive me for being blunt, but this is what happened. There was several opportunities to do, what is that called? Where you get together with other people, you know, and have orgies, right?
Yeah. Menage trois.
Well, even more than that, it would have been done at like a location. They had, like in Colorado, they had things set up where you would go and pay and do all of it. So we did partake of that.
Okay.
But I soon learned quickly after that, I never wanted to do it again because one of the girls got beat. And I was like, oh my God, I got to get out of this. This is horrible. And so that really opened the door to really bad things.
Mm-hmm. Wow. Do you think, Sandy, that opened the door to some demons? You know, there are demons of sex.
Absolutely. Yes.
I covered a lot. And I think at these places you're talking about, they're all over the place, you know. That opened the door to demons to come into your marriage, come mm-hmm. into you, come into him. So you did that. You were married. And were you a Christian at that time?
I was a Christian at that time. I wasn't walking as a Christian, but I had accepted Christ back when I was 8 years old. I could liken it to like at the time all that happened when I met him, my mom had died, my dad died. His mom is still living, but his dad died. There was this connection of trauma, you know, so you build trauma bonds or whatever they're called.
Right.
And that went on and he didn't know how to save me. I didn't know how to save him. I didn't know what church. It was a mess.
Yeah.
But then he did the next marriage did do it very well. He said, look, you're not going to get any money. I'll pay you an allowance. That's all you're going to get. And when I need you, I need you. And it went like that. It was very abusive. It was very controlling and very, I got choked quite a few times. So yeah.
Okay. I do want to talk about that, but I want to back up and kind of take a little section at a time if we can.
Yeah.
So you received Christ at 8 years old. How old were you when you got married? How old were you?
The first time I was almost 19.
Okay, 19. So you're talking 10 years roughly from the time you were saved. So let's talk about that 10 years, because to go from being saved at 8 years old to being married and going in, and I'm just going to use this as an example because you were mm-hmm. kind enough and bold enough to say it. You went to an orgy. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's a pretty big arc right there. All right. was there something that happened from the time you were 8 years old, accepted Christ, to the time you got married? Did something happen to Sandy, the little girl, the teenager? Is there something that jolted you? It chipped you, broke you.
Yeah, I got raped twice.
Okay.
And I, yep.
How old were you?
Well, I'm just going to have to guesstimate, but around 17, 18. I
Okay.
got asked at it was in Arizona actually, and I got asked, hey, if you don't get this job because you're not old enough to serve alcohol, do you want to come with me and I'll give you a job? Come
Okay. So do you think
on.
that, because 17, 18, you are not like some little kid, okay? Do you think something happened even before that that would have opened a door for your sexuality to be compromised? Because I mean, you just don't walk out one day and twice it happened 17, 18 years old. Do you think maybe when you were a child was did something happen? Did somebody shame you, or did you go through any type of abuse or anything?
My well, it's funny you would ask that because I first of all I went to all these therapy trying to figure it out, and I cannot remember from 17 back. Nothing, I don't know, but I can tell you that my mom was very controlling, very abusive, and I do remember, God rest, bless you, Mom. I know you're gone, but she swung me around and around and around, and I
Okay.
that was an ugly thing.
So let me ask you about you can't remember excuse me, anything happened before you were 17. Did you lose track of time when you try to remember back like that?
Yeah, maybe. Yeah. I mean, I remember a couple of things in high school, and I remember always giving it up, just to get love. Like, it was kind of like that, kind of like nobody loved me. Just
Right.
gonna try to find it.
How about your dad? Where was he?
My dad was there. He was very passive aggressive. He did what my mom said.
Okay. So in other words, he would be very kind, very gentle, and then all of a sudden he'd be very aggressive.
Oh, they
Did
didn't know any of this. They didn't. I didn't
you?
share any of this with them.
Yeah. Well, you know, when I was raised, I was beat with a belt, coat hanger, limb in the backyard. I mean, back then, you know, children should be seen and not heard, you know. I mean, it was a whole different ball game. They didn't understand abuse back then. So your father, did he ever, was he physically abusive toward you?
No, I'm my mom was my mom.
Your mother was. Okay. All right.
Yeah.
Okay, but no remembrance of any type of sexual abuse when you were a child.
Well, all I know is I heard rumors after my mom died that one of them, a relative, had abused me. I don't know who it was. I don't even know these people, but that's all I knew. I tried to get information and nobody would talk. So.
Yeah, you know, a lot of times when we can't remember certain parts of a timeline of our past. Not always, but most of the time, something happened that was traumatic, tragic. And our little brains as children, we block it out. We just that's our survival mechanism, you know? Just we go someplace else. So therefore we don't remember that time period. I went through some things like that. I won't get into it
Did
right now.
you?
Well, yeah, because there's times that I can't remember certain things, right? And when you don't remember, the only thing you can do is either wonder or start asking questions, other family members that probably like maybe you did, and see if you can gather, give us some evidence or information and so forth. So it sounds like to me it was a possibility.
Absolutely.
You had an abusive mother. There was a possibility of. Definitely sound like you might have been abandoned by your mom and your dad. There was an
Oh, yeah.
abandonment issue, right?
And I was just going to speak to the whole demonic thing that I went through therapy. Tried, and the only thing like that didn't help. None of that helped. But going through some deliverance did help.
Well, you know, it kind of goes. It affects different people in different ways. Some people can go to therapy and they've got demons all over them, and they can, the demons are exposed depending on who the therapist is, that way. And then a deliverance can happen, or sometimes you have to be delivered. And then that's when you can realize what's really going on. So it sometimes it goes both ways. Most of the time it goes the way you did it, the way deliverance and then going to therapy. But for 17 or 18 years old to go out and have be molested at that age, usually a girl is looking for something and they find the wrong thing. You know, like, sound like to me, you might have been looking for love. Love meaning you wanted security, you wanted real love, not, I'm not talking about the sexual stuff. And you got the opposite.
Well, what I could do being abused in the marriages is I could literally go out, and I don't even know how to share this with you, but I could manipulate, and I wasn't a manipulator, but you could meet someone and you could like attach yourself to them, knowing that you would get love from that person, fake love, of course, but you'd have to give it up. But there was a little bit of sadistic security in that, if that makes sense. It was sick.
Well, yeah, but I mean, the thing, think about it. Let's equate it to you're hungry and you're starving, okay? Mm-hmm. And you're out there, you know, scrounging around in the garbage can, right? And you're looking for something like a steak, something nutritious, maybe an apple, and you keep looking, but you get to the point where you're just so weary and you're just so hungry. You see some old rotten food that's there and you start eating it because you don't have a choice, you know? And so you settle for something that you can just get by on. Just, you know, it's like a drug, you know, in a way.
Like a drug. Yeah.
Yeah, it is a drug. Now, I want to ask you back to this. And the reason I want to bring this up is when you had this, the orgy thing going on, you were saved. You went to church, I guess, throughout your teenage and your young years. Did you go to church? Were you? Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay. Oh, yeah. I was the perfect churchgoer.
Okay. Till what age?
I don't know, 15.
Okay. All right. So where was your mind when you were engaged in this activity with other couples, with your husband? How did you justify it? Did you kind of what they call displacement, meaning you put yourself away? You didn't, you wouldn't comprehend what was really going on.
I wanted to make my husband love me more. And I think at that point, there had been some abuse before the marriage a little bit. So I was just always looking for ways to make sure that I didn't do something wrong. And okay. And that was very obvious getting out of it. Because when I got out of it, I would always ask people. Now, this is after I left. And I go, are you okay? Did I do that right? Do you want me to fix it? I know I did it wrong. Talk about insecurity.
Yeah. Yeah. I want to put up a scripture, Sandy, and this right here, let me put it up again. This is Psalms. And the reason I want to put this up is because I want people to understand that God hears them. You, Lord, hear the desire of the afflicted. You encourage them and you listen to their cry, defending the fatherless and the oppressed, so that mere earthly mortals will never again strike terror.
I like that.
Yeah. My prophecy over you, my prayer over you, is that no mortal is going to ever damage or injure you again in intimate relationship. You're going to find the perfect person, the man God created for you, and you, the woman for him. Okay.
Love it. Thank you.
I want to speak that over you. Also, and also want, and we talked about this last Sunday, but we brought it up. You have gone, because now you're walking with Christ, okay?
Yes.
But but you were wounded. I mean, through these marriages and all this stuff's going on, you were wounded. And so I've talked about from wounded to warrior. All right. So you were wounded, but now you're God's warrior. Yes. Exposing the dark side. Exposing the dark side. We're going to take a break, but before we do, I want to bring up one more thing. You're one of the few people, and I know I interview the few, I call them the chosen few, who are who do not hide their scars. Mm-hmm. If you hid your scars, you wouldn't be talking about this right now, Sandy. So you wear the scar as a badge, meaning you're not proud of what happened, but you're proud of what God did for you, how he delivered you, right?
God told me I'm like a warrior of courage, because what comes out now is so hard to talk about, but it's not. And it needs to be told, because I know there are people out there that need to hear this.
Yeah.
You're just not a bad person, you know? You got caught up in some things. And
you know, because when you're caught in a marriage, there's a lot of guilt, because you're married. That's your husband. You want to please him. And you're afraid to tell anybody, because maybe you have kids. You know, you don't want to hurt the kids. There's so many things. And these husbands that have demons all over them, they know how to manipulate. They know the game. And a lot of these guys, I'm not going to give them a get out of jail free card, but a lot of these guys are abused themselves. A lot of them come from very broken, bad, you know, that's not an excuse, but it's a reality, and it's something we have to understand. Sandy, when we come back, I'm going to talk to you about your second husband, what that meant to be actually not just a sex slave, but actually trafficked within a marriage. So stay with me. We're talking to Sandy, kind enough to come on and expose the dark side, folks. This is something that we must, as God's people, we need to address these things. Okay. If we don't, I'm telling you, the devil is just going to continue eating our lunch. And we're not going to let that happen. And it's because of you that you've kept this ministry going. And if you want to keep it going, I want you to listen to this message, because we'll be right back.
When you donate to this ministry, I can honestly tell you that we talk about things the church won't. I do my best. I do my best to get the word out, and so does Shanita. And anything that you can give that God lays on your heart would be appreciated. It keeps us going. It keeps this show going. It keeps us traveling to pray for people, and it's just much appreciated. DavidHebner.tv/give. Consider becoming a monthly partner. You can call 844-806-0006, or you can text the word CHOSEN to 91999.
Thank you so much for doing that. And also, too, if you're not a member of David Hebner TV, we have over 1,000 shows on there now. And with all my friends, the late, great Russ Dizdar, L.A. Marzulli, Michael Lake, talking about all these different things, Hollywood mind control. That's what episode 3 is about, The Last Evangelist, comes out next month. Talk about Illuminati, One World Order, censorship. Talk about the alien demon connection, abduction. I mean, I have all kinds of guests that come on and we interview these people. So go to DavidHebner.tv, sign up. It's the only way you can go with this underground. Now, you can watch it free as it's running live if you go to DavidHebner.tv, but you got to be a member to come underground with us. It's like $7 a month. I mean, it's the cost of a latte. So it would certainly help us. And also Last Evangelist, episode 3 is coming out next month. If you haven't seen episode 1, go watch it. It's winning a lot of awards. Episode 2 is out right now. You can watch that. And then also, too, you can see our new series called The Coming Apocalypse with all of these people on there. So please go check it out. I appreciate you guys. Love you all so much. All right, we're talking to Sandy. If you guys are just tuning in, Sandy was in two marriages. We talked about the first. In both marriages, she was a slave, basically in bondage, trapped. But not just a slave, but a slave used for intimacy, for sexuality, as a wife, a husband using his wife that way. it sounds disgusting, but you know what? It happens more than you would think it does. And when you have children and you feel guilty, it's hard to leave. Sandy, we talked about this. How many kids did you have in your first marriage?
My first one, I had to think about that. Three. Well, two, and then I got pregnant by a...
So you had three total?
I have five total, but I'm just saying they have a few different fathers. So I was very promiscuous, you know.
Okay, well, let's talk about the first marriage. How many children did you have in your first marriage?
Three.
Okay. Mm-hmm. And you've ended up getting out of the marriage. Mm-hmm. Now, how did you do that? Did you turn to God? Did you just leave on your own? What was the breaking point on that?
My mom and dad were still alive then, so they really encouraged me to get out. But then they died, and then I got out by just leaving. He got everything, took everything. I had nothing. And that was fine because I'd rather be free than be around someone like that anymore. But the bad thing was this. After I got out a few years later, I won a national beauty pageant. And they interviewed me on real TV. And the one thing I said was, thank God I got out. You know, the guy was this, he was that, and the other. But my kids, my own kids, I had to not show it. Like, I was still in bondage. Do you understand what I'm saying? Because of that, they loved their dad. So there's still this element of, I'm not free. I can't tell my story. I'm right. Free now. I don't care. But I'm just saying, it sucked.
I know. That's the thing. You finally get free physically and emotionally and mentally and all that stuff. But you can't talk about it because you don't want to damage the innocent children, the children mm-hmm. that, you know, they're innocent. So you've got to keep it bottled up. I'm sure you talked about it privately with people. I want to ask you, though, how did you get out? Did you just...
No, I was going to go back to that. You know, I really don't remember. I'm serious. Like, I think I just grabbed my bags. I went to a hotel. I remember spending a couple nights there. And then I went to different... Oh, I did. I went to different people's houses. And then eventually I was able to get a job and just take care of myself.
Okay. Did you, during that time, right before getting out or right after you got out, did anybody pray with you, pray for you, pray over you? Any deliverance going on there?
Yes. I went to a church here again in Arizona where they had a lot of demonic activity. It wasn't necessarily all good, but I did get ministered to, and that did help. Absolutely.
Okay. Speaking of the church, where was the church all during this time? Did you feel comfortable going to the church all during this time? No. Why, Sandy? I mean, it's the church. It's the
because
place.
They judge you. I was judged. If I went to the wrong church today, I would be severely judged.
Well, you would. If you went to most churches today, you'd be severely judged.
If you don't use the same, the right, what's language,
right,
to where it soothes their conscience, they don't want to hear it. I've been told that I don't want to hear it, but it happened. It's a scar.
So but you did go there after you left him and they prayed over you. Was there a deliverance? Were you delivered of any demonic activity?
I don't know. It was weird. Like, they put me on the ground, like, and then my mouth started running. It just was weird. I'm sure I got delivered of some. I did not get full deliverance at all. This went on for years.
Okay. All right. So how old were you when you left your first husband?
Probably around 28. And then I took about 4 years off because I heard a saying, if you're single for four or five years, you're ready for a new relationship. But that wasn't true. Then I met Crazy Jeff.
Okay. So from 19 to 28, you were married for around 10 years, roughly.
Well, I might be off a little. I was married 17 years, first marriage.
Okay. All right. Okay.
Sorry about that.
All right. But there was a 4 or 5 year period between your first marriage and your second marriage, right?
Mm-hmm. Right.
Okay. All right. during this time, were you going to church? Were you going to therapy? What were you doing to try to, did you understand that you were a sex slave in that first marriage? Did those words come out of your mouth? Did you understand that?
No.
No. You just knew there was some weird things happening that you didn't feel good about yourself, right?
Like, oh, no. Oh, no. I mean, I was a piece of work.
You were what?
I was a piece of nothing. I was useless to the world. Might as well throw me away, step on me, and just discard me. You know, just no. No good.
Right. So, because nobody told you, or did they? Did they tell you that you had demons, that you needed deliverance, that, no? Okay. So during this time, did you go to therapy?
During that time, did I go to therapy? Let's see. I don't think I did. I think I was really busy just trying to survive. I was trying to find love, of which I went out with a couple other men and got pregnant by someone else. And a couple of things happened in between that where that man, the first husband, dropped off the baby on the doorstep of where I was working. And my baby was outside and I didn't know it. Stuff like that.
Now, wait a minute. Hold it. You had a baby. Mm-hmm. I guess you went to work. The baby was real little. You left it with the father, right? You weren't married.
6 months old.
6 months old. Just left it on the outside the door.
A lady by the name of Honore. I remember her name. She came out. She went outside for something, came back in and goes, "Hey, there's a baby out in the front. Is that anyone's baby?" And I went running out and I went, "Oh my God, yes, it's mine." And then I couldn't believe he did that.
Yeah. Did you talk to him after that? Were you still together with him?
For a little while, because then I did leave. Now I remember it's all coming back. Then I did leave, met someone else, went up to Colorado, and he followed me and slashed the tires. And I had that baby with me. I was at a grocery store. He came up behind me and grabbed the baby and took him back. Now, thank you. My mind was a little bit off there.
Oh, my goodness. How old were your other kids that you had from the previous marriage?
Let's see. I mean, just like Matthew was maybe 5 years younger. So they must have been 12, 13, 14, 15, something like that.
But they were living with the father. They weren't with you, or were they living with you?
They weren't with me, huh? Now we're talking first marriage, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
Number one. Yeah. Yeah. First.
Okay. Gotcha. So go ahead.
I hadn't told you this part yet. I'm sorry. I just remembered it.
Yeah. Well, that's all right. So were you going to church during this time? Were you praying? Did you have a church you would go to every Sunday? What was your... Well,
there was one in Arizona that I did go to. That's where they did deliverance and stuff. And I ended up on the floor and they were delivering me. I didn't know what was going on. Honestly, I don't even know. I don't remember. And that probably sounds tacky, like I wasn't accountable to myself, but I don't think I was. So much crap had happened. I just didn't... I really didn't want to live, David.
Yeah, yeah. So, okay, so now here you are at even a lower level than were before you got married the first time. More baggage, I guess you might say. Baggage, I don't mean be disrespectful of children, but I'm talking about responsibility, right? You dug yourself into a deeper hole. Now you meet your second husband. Did he have kids when you met him?
He had one daughter, but she didn't live with him.
Okay. All right. And you had just that one child, right?
No, three.
I mean, but they were with your first husband.
Oh, yeah. Well, until he came to the store and grabbed him and took him back.
Okay.
So now I have no one with me.
Now you have none. So now you meet this other guy. Was he nice to you when you started dating him?
I mean, we met him in a nightclub, all dark tan, white shirt, unbuttoned to here, you know, that sort of thing. Yeah, right, he was nice.
Right. Okay. And how long were you married?
I was married 25 years.
Okay. To this guy, to the second one?
Yeah, so I had over 40 years of abuse. Yeah.
Wow. Okay. And you have children with this guy?
I had two more, yeah.
Two more, okay. So when did the abuse start? What was there physical abuse in this relationship?
It started before we got married. He would push me out of bed. And yes, there was physical and mental, and it was horrible. Even my divorce as of 6 years ago, he never apologized. I brought it up to his attention. I never did that to you. So,
wow. Okay.
Oh, yeah. Choke. It was awful. It was a living hell.
Okay. I want to ask you, I'm going to be talking to you about, in this marriage, you were actually trafficked.
Right.
And I want to talk about that. But before I do, I just want to say a few things here. I think it's important to elaborate on these things. I did do the scripture on husbands, love your wives, and don't be harsh with them, Colossians 3:19. Folks, if you're listening to this and you're hearing Sandy with her testimony, and you're living in an abusive relationship, God condemns this. If your husband is abusing you, Jesus condemns it. He condemns it. I'm going to say something. If you're living in abuse, get out. Now, I'm not telling you to leave your husband permanently. Get out. Get away from the danger. Get away from the abuse. Seek help and go to a church that's going to love you and accept you, or find somebody that's going to help you, okay? But don't stay in that relationship. I've had people tell me, David, my preacher says I can't leave unless my husband goes out on me.
Yep.
Commits adultery. This is the greatest lie from hell. Any preacher would tell you that. I mean, got to be brain dead. You know, Sandy, I mean, what do you think? I mean,
I had one say that to me. Be an example. Stay there and love your husband to the cross. I said, you're crazy.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because when you're abused, it goes round and round and round. And if you don't get out, and I really lied to myself, I thought I should stay there. The longer you stay, the worse. If you're in it, you've got to get out. And the church, that's a whole different topic.
Yeah. Yeah. So I want to ask you, I'm going to ask Sandy when we come back about the trafficking in her marriage. In other words, you got a husband and your husband is your trafficker. It's like sex traffic. What is that all about? So when we come back, I'm going to ask her about that. And I want you guys to know that we are going to go underground in a few minutes. So you should have a link. If it's the first time you're signing up, you just send an email to admin@davidhebner.tv. We'll send you the link, and you'll always have the link every week. Okay, and I just want to share with you guys something here. I've got two new books. I'm not sure I have it handy here. Here it is, right here. But I've got two new books and two DVDs. This is the book. They're not brand new, but to some people they are, but it's How to Use Your True Power in These Last Days. If you're having a rough time right now, God laid this on my heart. It's a war manual for God's people in these last days, your true power. And also, this is a story of my life. Deals with mind control, Hollywood, Illuminati, channeling, sleep paralysis, astral projection. It's right here, stuff I've encountered and gone through some of it. So, I would love for you to have a copy of that. This is the 8 hours of End Times Investigation with all my friends, L.A. Marzulli, Russ Dizdar. I mean, it just goes on, 8 hours on all these different topics. And then, of course, you can get episode one of Last Evangelist on DVD. So you can just call 844-806-0006, or you can send a text, CHOSEN, the word CHOSEN, to 91999. Just go to davidhebner.tv/order. And then the last thing I want to say is if you do have a vehicle or even land or whatever you want to donate, 855-500-RIDE or go to 844-277-HOME. It would certainly help this ministry. I really appreciate it. We're talking to Sandy about her abusive relationships, and she was married once, a slave in the first marriage, and now we're in the second marriage, Sandy, and now your husband actually traffics you. What is that? How
is that? Excuse me. Well, you don't have control of anything. You can't get into the bank account. You have to depend on him for everything. But here's the catch. About, I don't know, 4 days before it's payday, that what's the word? Being trafficked, it gets stronger. It's a spirit. I believe it's a spiritual thing. It's a demonic influence. And if you don't do it, what he wants, when he wants, you will not get paid. Bottom line.
Okay.
So then you do it. Oh, go ahead. I'm sorry.
Yeah, do it. What is it you do? What did the trafficking consist of? What did it entail?
Well, you're just like a rag doll, really. And you just better get in position and get there.
So he would bring his friends over or something, or he would take you to a party or what?
That had happened too, also. But what I'm speaking to right now is mainly being trafficked, I guess, mentally, because that had already happened. That's back here a little ways. Yeah. But now it's so bad that I have no control over anything. And if you don't have SEX, when he wants it, how he wants it. And I mean, he made videos. He could have taken them and sold them to his friends. I don't know what he did. He was such a dirty dog.
Right.
Then you didn't get paid. And it would start this huge fight. And that's when I got choked.
So tell me how you got out of that.
Well, I mean, he made all these promises to me. I'm going to quit drinking and we're going to have a happy life. And that never happened. And so 6 years ago, I got up in the morning because he brought my kids into it. There was now an entanglement. What's that called? Where three people. Anyway, he got the kids involved and they hated me. And so I just woke up and I went and I kissed him up here and I said, I hope you do what's right. I hope you find happiness and I hope you do what's right. I left. I went to the courthouse. I filed, got a protection order. They went and served him. He lied. He said, I'm not Jeff.
Oh, my goodness.
Oh, yeah, all that. And so he didn't have to leave for a little while, but they finally got him. He got out. And then he manipulated. He kept manipulating through the entire divorce. I never said that. I never did that. It's ugly.
Okay, so you left. Was there a point you were delivered of these demons when you finally came clean and you had a breakthrough?
It was a process. It didn't happen right then. I was a very sad, sad girl. I just went, you know, like at midnight for some reason, I'd find myself on a bus and I'd meet a guy, I'd sleep with him and he kept me warm for a couple hours and then I'd leave.
Yeah.
And my car got stolen. My identity got stolen. So what? But like, I was a prostitute. I don't want to take away from that, but I'm just saying I didn't know what was.
Well, but where was there a breakthrough? Now you doesn't seem like you're the same Sandy now as you were.
I've gone through a lot of deliverance.
Let's talk about that. Give me, we have a few minutes left. Where'd you go? How did that happen?
None of it was at the church. Okay. It was all people that were affiliated with churches. And, I heard about this one and I knew I had trouble. So I would go call her. We went through it. And then the next one, because it's a process. This lady just showed me a lot of love and hugged me. And I just bawled for days and got it out. There's many roads to deliverance, you know?
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. It sounded like you had a mother come to your rescue, a surrogate mother to give you love.
It's been a beautiful thing.
Yeah, the beautiful thing. These could have been demons of abandonment, demons of loneliness, and then they ushered in the demons of sex, because that's the way you were trying to fill that void of loneliness. See, this is what happens. Did you ever struggle with addiction, drugs, alcohol?
Mm-hmm. Yep, some of them. And I quit myself. I'm not that person. I mean, you know.
Of course, yeah. So did you know there came a point where that one demon came out and you said, man, I'm set free. I don't need to ride buses anymore in midnight and meet some guy and have a one night stand. Was there a moment of truth that you can remember?
Yep. Actually, that's a really good question. And I can even name the demon for you if you'd like.
Please.
It was Python.
What is it?
Python.
Python, okay.
And you know, I got delivered of that. And do you know how many times that spirit came back? I had to stand. You have to literally stand against it. And I could see it, like spiritually, I could see it. It was the weirdest thing I'd ever experienced, but it was so real. And I'm happy and proud to say that will never be a part of my life again. But I know there's people out there that need the help. And it breaks my heart because it wasn't easy, David.
Yeah, yeah. No, of course. But that one demon, Python, that came out, and now you're to the point where you can fight the other demons off.
Absolutely.
But before that, one demon was crippling you to where it was almost like getting knocked around in a boxing ring. But, you know, you were seeing stars, right? We all have that one Python. We all have that Python inside of us that until we call it out, and it, like you said, it doesn't, it tries to come back, you know? It's not like it's that you've let that dog inside the house for so long, you got to tell it you can't come in anymore. It's going to sneak in, you know?
And if you don't lean into God, don't walk away from him, because it can come back.
Yeah. So what did you do, talking about leaning into God? What was it that was caused your breakthrough of getting rid of Python? How did you lean on God different that time than you did any other time?
Because I lost everything I had, literally. My kids, he took all the money he had. He took it all. I had nothing.
Yeah.
And I cried out. I don't need the things, but I do need my kids.
Yeah.
One of them's talking to me. There's one to go.
Yeah.
I mean, four talking to me, one to go.
Mm-hmm. But you know what? What's really beautiful is that God can use what we break, you know? What we break, God can use that, you know?
I believe that at some point I will be sharing this story more and more and more, because it needs to be told. And there's women out there that might go, my God, that's happening to me, or wow, whatever. It's not about me.
No. It's about your testimony of what you went through, right?
Mm-hmm.
Your scars, Sandy, your scars.
Yeah,
they don't shame. They testify. See, when you were delivered, you no longer were shamed. Before that, you were shamed. You know, we get shamed and then we go deeper into toxicity. But then when we're delivered, the shame turns into a testimony. Power, you know?
Power, and, yeah. Yeah. Do you know what you said? Sorry, go ahead.
Go ahead. Sorry.
You said last week to me, you go, do you believe that you have all this stuff you went through and then you have your scars? Do you think your scars? So basically, it never goes away and you have scars.
Yeah.
I said that to someone and they said, you're crazy. God says, your sins are as far, you know, the east is from the west.
Right.
I'm not talking about my sins. I'm talking about my pain.
Yeah.
You can't share with people if you don't share what you went through.
Right. Right.
Period.
Exactly. I mean, that the thing is, it's your scars are your proof.
Amen.
It's your proof of what God's done for you, how you've been delivered. It's your proof of God, you know? And it's also your weapons. Your scars are your weapons.
Weapons. I love that.
Your scars are your weapons, Sandy. What you're doing right now, this is a weapon. You're taking out the demons. You're taking them out because they want to occupy marriages. They want to abuse both men and women in marriages, you know? That's what they want.
Amen. Amen.
And then your scars are a reminder. It reminds you of the grace God has upon you, of the great things God's done for you, right?
Yes. And
the grace of God, we could fall back there again. It's our reminder. So it's a beautiful thing. So now that you, one last question, you got delivered. Did you go to therapy now? You went and start talking to people and pouring out your heart.
I talked to people. Yeah. I mean, even at the NRB, I started crying like, oh my God.
Yeah.
But that NRB was incredible, by the way. Your wife was one that she hugged me and I just felt the presence of God. Man, that woman is amazing. I got to tell you that.
She's a beautiful spirit. She really is. Thank you.
But I felt loved. There's just been a whole lot of love since I've become actually a Christian actress. There's been a lot of love, and I know I'm going to the right people, the right places. And
yeah. And you're an actress now. You've been in some movies, and you mm-hmm. want to share your talent with use your talent for God and share it with the world and do mm-hmm. faith-based projects.
Right.
Before I go, I need to ask you this, but I asked you if you went to a therapist, if you went to therapy. And the reason I ask this is so many people have been burned by therapists. They've gone to therapists and it was a bad experience. Someone says they're a therapist doesn't mean they know what they're talking about.
I got delivered, man. I went to Jesus. That's what did it.
Yeah, he was your therapy. And then the Holy Spirit guides you into who you should talk to and tell your story, right?
And it's with or without the church. Unfortunately, I was going to a church to where I loved the pastor, but you can't talk to him. You have to get referred out. Well, I didn't have any money. What do you want me to do? Well, I don't know. What do you do? Yeah, There's no accountability.
Well, let me tell you something. I tell people this, if you've got a pastor you can't get to, you need to get the heck out of that church. That's not a church. That's a religious country club. Okay. I call them Six Flags Over Jesus churches, God marks, you know. Get out. Oh, but every excuse in the world, David, I have a great preacher. You ought to hear the band. I don't care. Get out. If that preacher can't give you the time of day, if you can at least set up a meeting to talk to him in the hallway, get out. Because I get so many people tell me they can't approach their pastor. And see, this is a game they play. This is mind control. Okay. It's religious abuse. And I have to bring this up. All right, Sandy, if anybody, do you have like a website or someplace people can go to find out more about you, a way to contact you?
I'm working on one, but they can certainly have, my email.
Okay. What is that?
Good things, GOODTHINGS, the letter R, coming, the number 2 at gmail.com.
All right. Good things are coming too at gmail.com. And if you guys need to get in touch with her, you can always get in touch with me and I'll put you in touch with her. You're going to be with us on Underground though.
Yeah.
Because people are going to come in, they're going to know more about you. They're going to want to pray for you. And there's going to be people that's going to share their battle scars too. You know, a lot of the people, as you know, have gone through as bad and sometimes even more horrific stuff than you've gone through and I've gone through. So, all right, Sandy, thank you so much. God bless you. God be with you. And we'll see you in a few minutes under Underground. Okay.
Okay. Thanks so much.
All right, everybody. I love you guys. I appreciate you. Be with us on Underground just a few minutes. Come with us, and we will be able to share each other's stories. And we want to hear your story, okay? It's important for us to band together as Christians and to help each other out, all right? So remember, you never really lived till you found someone worth dying for. And that's Christ, Jesus.
And we have the New End Times DVD, 8 hours of me investigating things like Satanism, demonic powers, Illuminati, New World Order, Antichrist, One World Religion, End Times Miracles, Bible Prophecy.
And the alien demon connection with L.A. Marzulli.
So I want you to text the word CHOSEN to 91999, the word CHOSEN to 91999, and get the End Times Investigation DVD.
How can people be a participant and help you bring the Last Evangelist story to the public?
Oh, thank you so much. Yeah. We set it up as the model like The Chosen, where you can go and donate. You can actually be the financier on it. You go to lastevangelist.com and you can donate. You can be an actor, you can be a producer, you can be, or just donate. Special thank you.
Hey, everybody. Episode 1 and 2 are finished, but we're now filming episode 3. Would you please help us finance this very important mission? Episode 3 deals with mind control and how government is taking over the church. You can call 844-806-0006, or you can go to lastevangelist.com, or you can text the word evangelist to 71777. You can watch episode 1 and 2 right now on DavidHebner.tv. I love you all. Thank you so much.